Now we're going to tell you about two guys from the Bronx who used to spend long days being bored at their day jobs before they connected on Twitter. And there they found their calling, telling jokes about news headlines and offering hilarious takes on viral videos. Then it was on to a popular podcast, The Bodega Boys, and then to a talk show on Viceland. And eventually Showtime came calling. And now Desus and Mero are taking their act to late night with a new show that debuted this past week with their first guest, representative and fellow Bronx native, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
We got a little guest coming up from the BX. It's our homie, AOC.
The congresswoman. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or Congress. Should we just say congressperson?
I like to call her the notorious AOC.
The notorious.
Like that, like a rapper.
Yeah,
shit like
yeah.
Yo, but let's get it started.
So you can get filibustered out here.
And there it is. They're joining us now from the NPR Bureau in New York, Desus and Mero. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, yeah. Thanks for having us.
On this big week for you, your big launch at Showtime. Congratulations. Yes.
Thank you. We're still buzzing from it. We're still a little hungover from the premiere party.
Yes, like I can barely speak. I'm so exhausted. I can only do one thing a day.
How does it feel, though? How does it feel? I know it's the corny question, corniest possible question, but how does it feel? I mean, honestly, 5 years ago, would you have envisioned this?
Not at all. You're asking me if 5 years ago Vanity Fair would have called me handsome, I would have been like...
Like, definitely, last night was one of those moments, like, in a movie, where you just sit around just staring at everything, trying to take it in, like, yo, this for real? It's starting to feel like this might just be, like, a really long dream.
What is happening? Like, I'm going to wake up out of a Xanax nap in, like, White Castle on Fordham Road. Like, what happened?
All right, each of you tell me a little bit about your backstory. Desus, why don't you start? And then tell me how you all met.
You know, regular New York story. Probably had every possible job. I've worked construction, worked as a mechanic. I was working as a writer for a small business company, a small business magazine. And listen, it was just like the most monotonous, brain-draining job ever. And I just go on Twitter and I tweet about my job and I talk about like the people I work with and just the ridiculousness of my job. Like one time we had a 10 o'clock meeting, but there was a 9 o'clock meeting that we had ahead of it for the 10 o'clock meeting. And Mero also had a job he hated, and we just, you know, tweet at each other about how we both hated our jobs, and people found it very funny, and they decided to turn it into a podcast, and it took off and running, and here we are.
But, you know, the other thing about it, though, is that I think people who followed you at all notice that you can riff on anything, and it's very, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like high low. I mean, you can talk about foreign policy, you can talk about, like, what your coworkers are wearing, and things of that sort.
It's very New York. That's the tradition of New York City public schools, because you have to learn how to be really quick and fast and be able to roast people. And I think the fact that while we are like pretty hood, we do have very eclectic backgrounds. Like I was working in a financial magazine. I probably know more about tax forms than the average person. So stuff like that, you can work into your riffs and people appreciate that, because there's certain jokes, there's only going to be like three or four takes on it. And we're able to be like, oh, this reminds me of, I don't know, the Treaty of Versailles. And you could just really mix it up with people. And they're like, wow. Okay,
what,
this isn't all just hood jokes about drugs and guns. Like there's a level of intellect here.
So there are a lot of late night options out there now. Yeah. And obviously, you two are different. You know, you're not wearing the suits.
Nope.
You know, you talk to all kinds of people, you know, former Attorney General Eric Holder, Whoopi Goldberg. I mean, you run this sort of gamut, obviously. But what do you think you have that these other shows don't have?
Our show is like a deconstructed late night show that what you see on our show, hopefully you won't see on any other show. And, shout out to Seth Meyers, shout out to Jimmy Fallon. We know all these guys. We've done their show. And their show, there is definitely a market for it. But the show has been done so many times. And even they say, you know, the format, monologue, house band, boom, guess one. While that works, there has to be some sort of change or a different option in late night. And that's what we're trying to deliver.
I love how you humble brags dropped in all those names right there. Like, I love how you like dropped in Jimmy Fallon, Seth Meyers. You know, I've been hanging out all
Oh, yeah, those are homies.
I mean, we did Seth Meyers early this week. It's not bragging if it's true, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying?
Just, we also did The View and bodied it.
Just casually dropped in on Dre Behar, you know what I'm saying? Say what's up.
But no, like, even our show, like, yesterday's show, a lot of the comments were just like, wow, what you guys did in the show, no other late night show could have done. Like, that Green Book sketch, there's no other host would have even touched that.
Yeah.
From the producers of Green Book comes the story of a white man who had the courage to know a black person. It's a movie critics are calling brave, powerful, and made me feel great about being white.
We call it late night for the people because there's just a demographic of people who do not see themselves represented in late night or don't see the comedy and information they want represented in late night. So we're trying to deliver that to people.
Well, let me ask you about that, though, because the fact of the matter is that there have been other hosts of color, and for whatever reason, those shows have not survived. There was Arsenio did have a good run. It was, yeah, what, 7 or 8 years. But then, yeah, there's Larry Wilmore, very highly regarded comedy writer, was on Daily Show, had a following. W. Kamau Bell, who's doing, you know, fine on CNN, but had his show. Wanda Sykes had a show. And I just have to ask you, do you have any concerns that, for, you know, for whatever reason, that something about late night hews to that kind of mid-market, mainstream?
You can say white people.
I could say that. But I'm just going to say that, is there some reason that you think that these more particular points of view don't last long at late night?
You know what it is? I think those people, you know, were kind of brought up in that framework of like Hollywood. You know, being writers, being in writers' rooms, working in under the structure of, like, you know, Hollywood and whatever like that.
I think the other thing is a lot of those shows were marketed as black shows, and that's going to already cut the audience in half.
Yeah.
Our show's never been advertised as a show for black people. Yes, I happen to be Jamaican, and he happens to be Dominican, but if you watch the first episode, the jokes, they weren't, like, coded in Ebonics that you couldn't understand.
Right.
Like, they're very accessible. We talk a little faster than most people, but anyone can get this content, and we're not doing like a full Juneteenth episode, like,
yeah,
just
nah,
like confuse people. But we definitely want to get as many people as possible.
And then, like, people like Eric Holder, who you would think would be like, you know, a government stiff person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we sit him down and they get comfortable around us. You know what I mean? So you get the human side of that person.
Right. We're talking to Eric Holder. I'm like, oh, do you ever get confused for Stedman Graham? Like,
oh,
who
man.
Else is that? Like, everyone's, yeah, asking him, like, serious questions. These are the questions we're asking. Yeah. These are human questions that people want to know about other humans.
Yeah.
Well, before I let you go, and congratulations again.
Thank you so much.
How will you know if you've succeeded in this gig? I mean, come on. When you really think about it, doesn't it make you cry?
Nah, we're from the Bronx. We don't cry.
Oh, sorry. You don't cry.
Cry.
Okay, yeah, what about your parents? Doesn't it?
They're just confused.
Yeah, they're just so like, Papi, I see you on the TV there. It's good. Can you please give me $5,000 because I happen to fix the house?
Like, my father texted me last night, and he was like, yo, I laughed during your show, which doesn't sound like a lot. He's gone from not acknowledging I was on TV to actually being excited for the Showtime show. So for him, laughing at this is just like, because he's like an older Jamaican man. They don't laugh at anything except like if the price of heating oil comes down. So for him to laugh at last night's show means the world.
You know what? I'm not even gonna lie. Like, talking about crying and like feeling like emotional and stuff like that. Like, my cousin sent me a video of all my old uncles huddled around the TV watching the show last night. And I was just like, wow. All that making fun of them and impersonating them when I was like 6 years old paid off. And they're super proud of it.
That was Desus and Mero. Their new late night talk show debuted on Showtime, and they were kind enough to join us from NPR's bureau in New York. Desus, Mero, congratulations. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. Thank you, NPR.
Yeah, East Tremont, holla.